grandma's house, and we're having dessert and having coffee. I'm drinking Sanka and having wonderful dessert cakes. What do you call them?
Well, that's my mother's cake. That's a jelly roll. Okay. Do you want to have the recipe? I can give it to you.
Yes.
That's cookie dough. And you put in 5 eggs. No, you're not going to give me the recipe.
Okay, you can be there. We're going to start talking about earliest memories in which town in Russia?
My mother was born Tsigayna.
Tsigayna?
Tsigayna.
Okay, well, I'll never get the pronunciation.
It's a small town. It's in Minsk State. It's a small town.
Okay.
And the earliest thing that I remember about my mother. Her mother died when she was 9 years old. And her father couldn't keep her because he had no food. So he gave her to rich people. She's supposed to play with the children. But she did not play with the children. They took her to the kitchen. And she was working with the maids there. And this is where she learned how to bake, how to cook. They were wonderful to my mother. That's what my mother tells me. And then when she was 15 years old, she fell in love with my father. And her father was against my father. The reason he was against, because his father was a,
he was a blacksmith.
Yeah. And her father used to make bricks for building. So naturally, he felt he was much more higher because he was making bricks for the builders. And my father's father was a blacksmith, so he didn't like the shidduch.
Oh, okay.
But my mom was very determined. And she said that even if she stays with him, one week she's going to marry him. And then she took sick. She was bathing and she got very bad cold. She got pneumonia. So finally, but she was so sick, so he told her father that she can marry Marcus. And they got married.
Because she was sick?
Well, she thought she was dying, so he felt well.
Okay.
And they had 6 children.
Did they move from that town after?
They moved away from that town. They moved to the town where my grandparents were. So they moved to a town called Horomyske. That's approximately about 20 miles away. And then my mother and father decided that my father should go to America. There they can start the life anew, and there go away from the pogroms and from sending the sons to the army. So my father decided to go to America. My father went in 1913 in December. And the reason that we didn't go with him, because my mother was pregnant, and we had a little brother. In March. He went away in December, and in March the baby was born.
And in 1913, what were the
in
names?
In 1914 already.
What were all the names of the brothers and sisters?
It was Borach, Michal, Broche, Nachame, Yirsul, Avremel. And the two kids, Avremel and Yirsul, died. One died from typhoid fever, and one died from measles. And Borach was killed already in 1940 by the Nazis, by Hitler.
How did you find out that he was killed by the Nazis?
We had words from the family, from people. Well, and also we heard that they came into to Pesochna. And they took all the Jews, and they took him to a nearby city, and they gassed them all. And my brother was among them, and my aunt, and my uncle, my cousins.
So you had three brothers who died.
Yeah, yeah. And then my sister was a twin. So the other, I don't know, her name was Rachel. She only lived 6 weeks.
So they say it's three.
And then in 1922, of course, mother struggled when my father was in America. We couldn't get the money. The war was on. And she used to do what all the peasants would do, work at the fields. Then in the wintertime, she used to make whiskey. And this is where she was arrested. And then she escaped from prison. And she went into to some Jewish family there, and she told them all about it. His family got in touch with me, and I went to meet mother in a nearby town. Our first going to Poland, we decided the only thing now to do is to go to Poland. And our state, Minsk Guberniya, was in 1918, it was divided in two. It was half belonged to Poland and half to the Russians. And so in 1921, that's when we came to Poland.
Did it,
When we went there the first time, my mother and I, my sister remained with family, and mom decided she would send for her later.
Your sister is younger?
No, older. And while we were going, the guide who took us was unfortunately, they killed him. And mother and I, we were sitting there in bushes there. They couldn't see us. They were looking for us. And we heard them say, "Where are the Jews?" Because they felt that all the Jews have a lot of money. And then when it started to get daybreak, they left, and we started to go back to the town that we had met this guy. And we left $20 with a rabbi, that he would come back to the rabbi, and we would show our signatures that we got there all right, then he would give him the money. But of course, unfortunately, that didn't happen. A week later,
what happened?
But they killed him.
Okay.
They killed him. In fact, the bullet went through near my nose. He says, while we were walking, he says to me, "Let us not get it. We'll look like so many people. Get closer to me. Come on, little girl." And he pulled me. I must have reached him up to here. And he gave one step forward, and I was dragging like, so the bullet went into his stomach, a young man. Then a week later, we took a chance, we went again, and we were successful. When we got to Poland, my mother took very sick, and she spent 6 weeks in the hospital. They gave her an injection there, and they poisoned her arm. And then we spent about a year and a half in Poland. Then when my sister came, my brother didn't want to go to America.
Not Milton,
Borough. And then my father sent us papers, and we came to America. We came to America 1923, the 18th of December.
How old were you?
When I came, I was 15 years old.
How old is that picture?
Here, that must have been about 17. And what a struggle. A new country, but we were happy to unite with my father, the rest of the family.
How big was the family when you were being reunited?
Reunited? My sister, I, and Bobby, my mother. And that what we had, my mother had two brothers here, and she had a sister here.
When did Milton come?
Milton came accidentally. He went to Poland for some, he was speculating, buying some merchandise and selling. And he came in 1920, he went. And there was going, when he was there, he met up with some people that unfortunately they had no mothers and no fathers. And they said, "Look, Milton, there's a orphans a whole boat, nobody else but orphans. We can fix it up. You can come along with us. Tell them your mother died. And write your mother a letter, say that she's going to live till 100 years. But this is the only way you can get to America. And we came 1920, 1921. And we came to America in 1923. And we were happy. We were together. I got a job, the sweatshop. And I went to school at night time.
Where did you work? In Philadelphia?
And this is where I met my husband. I think that's all I can.
Okay. It's now June 17th, 1986, and just completed another wonderful dinner at Aunt Norma's. And we have finished our dinner and coffee and cake, and now we're sitting down at the table and going to continue our little talk about the family history. Norma's first going to elaborate a little bit about some of the sections in the previous tape, and she's going to start by talking a little more about Bubby's escape from prison.
Well, when Mother was in prison, there's a few Jewish families came to visit her, and they would bring her some goodies probably, and she would always treat to the soldiers there, to the guards. And then one Jewish family had told her that they live right across the prison. Whenever something comes up, she's free to come there. One morning she get up and she tells the guide that he should, there were no lavatories inside. So they had to take her outside to the yard. So she wakes up the guide and she says, take me she had a nature call. And the guide says, oh, Liza Lazarevna, we have enough confidence in you. You go ahead, go yourself. And she had only a petticoat and a shirt, an undershirt, and she had a scarf. And she went, and she, instead of going to the yard, she walked right out. And she, her mom told me, it must have been about 5-6 o'clock in the morning. And she knocked at the door, and she told them, look, you must let me in. So whoever opened the door didn't want to let her in. So she put her foot in. She says, you're not going to send me out of here. You have to let me in, and I'll tell you what happened to me. So she told them that she escaped from prison. And the family was kind enough, and they hid her. They were hiding her, and she was in their home for about 3-4 days until they find an opportunity to send her out of there with a horse and wagon. And they took her back to Nuzde. And there we had contact with a Jewish family and with a rabbi, and Mom went right there. She was there for about a week. Meantime, the police came, and they started to search for Mother, and they were questioning me. It was a regular position. I told them, I screamed and I yelled. I said, you must have killed my mother. What did you do with my mother? Then 2 days later, I got words that I should go to this town, Uzde. And I went there myself, and I was only 12 years old. And I walked, I don't remember, either 10 or 15 miles. When I got there, I asked the people where he was a rabbi, and they took me. And Mom was in the rabbi's house. And then the rabbi says it will take a little while, maybe a week. We'll arrange somebody to take you across the border. Meantime, the rabbi couldn't keep us. Their family took us. And the family kept Mom me and me for about a week or 10 days. I can't recall exactly. Mom was very much shaken up. She knew what her fate was. If they catch her, they would kill her right away. So we got a guide, and we went. But was very, very unfortunate. Some bandits killed the guide, and Mom and I remained alone. There was another woman going with us. We don't know what happened to her. So we sat there in bushes until dawn, and then we crawled on our stomachs to a farmhouse, and there were dogs there. They started to bark. The farmer came out, and we told him of our fate. We told him what happened to us. He was very kind. He took us in. I got washed. He made us some tea. And he took his horse and wagon, and he took us back to the same town where we came from, to Famuzde. There, we rested up for another week, and we made another trial. And we were fortunate. We were successful. But when we got in Poland, in Jastrzysz, Mom took very sick, and she went into the hospital. I think I'm repeating myself. The $20 we left with a rabbi, and with the understanding, when we'll come to Poland, I'll send a note to the rabbi or my mother with our signature, and the rabbi would give him the $20. But very unfortunate, the guy got killed. So naturally, he never got that $20. When we came back to the town, the rabbi gave us the $20 to make arrangements to go with another guide.
Now, about the part with Bubby going in the hospital, and you mentioned that she had her arm poisoned.
Yes. Well, in the hospital, when they poisoned her arm, they kept her there for 6 weeks. And there were people from Pesochnem. Berkowitzes were the name. They were very nice, very kind. They took me in, and I was with them for 6 weeks until Mom came out of the hospital. Meantime, my mom came out of the hospital. My father sent some money to us and sent also papers that we should come to America. But things weren't that easy because my father didn't have much money. We were three people. It wasn't easy for him. He didn't have that kind of money for us. So the rest of the family got together and they sent in the money, and this is how we came. But it wasn't as easy as I'm saying now. There were also, in 1922, a declaration from the Poland government came in effect that all foreigners, all who don't belong in Poland, they should go back to Russia. Naturally, we couldn't go back to Russia. We knew what expected us. So we had to, meantime, the quota for wives to come to America were overfilled. So we had to wait in Poland for about a year and a half. Then we were lucky enough. We remained there. The Poland government did not bother us. My mother made some false passports that we could stay. And in 1923, the 18th of December, we came to America. But when we arrived to America, the children under age 16, then we were allowed, because there was no quota. But my mother was a quota. So they wanted to separate us. So my sister and I said, no, we are not going. We stood with Mom for 2 weeks in Ellis Island. It was horrible there to stay. Actually, we slept in cages. And then my father came and he says, look, it has to take time. He says, people went, some family from us went to Washington. And they're going to work on it. Mom is going to come out in another 10 days. But it would be better if you and Brocha would leave now. Go with me now, and the mom will come out later. And this is what it was. We left my mother there, and then a week or 10 days later, they had to bond her, and she came out. And then we were staying in New York about 3 weeks. And then we came to Philadelphia. My father had a house for us prepared. And it was a struggle for us, for me, for my sister. especially we had to go to work, and in the evening we went to school, and of course the working condition weren't pleasant. It was sweatshops, but we were young and we took it. In this sweatshop, they taught me how to sew, how to make dresses, and the first week I earned was $4 or $5, I don't remember. That means putting in 8 hours a day, and this is what was my pay. Then a few years later, a year or two, I joined the union. I was very active in the union.
What you
mean? Fighting the IMG, fighting for better conditions for me and for the rest of the people. I met Izzy in school in 1924, and we fell in love, and it was a great thing for me, because as soon as I met him, I felt this is the guy I'm going to spend the rest of my life. And we were very happy. We had two lovely children. They were born, and we were very proud of them, and we're very much proud since they grew up. And I'm very lucky. I have wonderful grandchildren, very happy with them. And, of course, unfortunately, that Izzy's not here. But he gave me a lot of joy for 56 years. I was the happiest one to spend my life with Izzy. And being we were so happy, it helps me now a lot. And I think of my past with my husband. Izzy was a very cultural young man, and thanks to him, we had joined a beautiful organization, Shalom Aleichem Jugend Club. It was an organization, I don't have to tell you who Shalom Aleichem was, and we had enjoyed it very much. We went to lectures, we went to picnics. We went to discussion groups, and Izzy's trade, Izzy was a printer. He loved his trade very much. He was very happy with his trade. He didn't make too much money, but we were very, very happy and contented. We got married in 1929. As most of you people know, it was a depression time. It was very hard. Our two sons were born in depression. It wasn't easy, but we made it. I lived with my mother and dad for 5 years. And then when I was pregnant with Velvo, I moved out because we needed more room. And our first move was to Strawberry Mansion. They had an apartment, one bedroom, a living room, and a kitchen, and a bedroom. And this is where our youngest son, Velvo, was born. Then from Izzy was making, then when we moved in, Izzy was making $27 or $28 a week. Then he got a raise, so $35 a week. And we moved in over a butcher shop with a bedroom for our children, and we had a bedroom and a kitchen and a living room. And I felt rich. And in 1947, we had bought a home on 33rd Street in Strawberry Mansion. And I think Izzy and I, we were the richest people in the world. We owned the beautiful home, and we were very happy. And also we had, my dad and mom had moved in with us because mom wasn't well, and we decided to buy a bigger home that our parents should move in, because I had no strength to keep on running every day to take care of mom. But very unfortunately, I can say, first I'll say this, my father was very, very happy. He lived with us only, unfortunately, 6 weeks. He was so happy. It just was a shame that he died, my dad. He died at the age of 65. Suddenly he got a pain in his back, and we took him to the hospital. He got dressed. Milton came, and he took him. And then by 3 o'clock, I went with Milton and Mom. Mom went to my uncle, 15 Lombard, to stay there overnight. And around 7 o'clock, the hospital calls me and they tell me my daddy's in a coma. So I alerted Milton, my sister, my husband, Izzy. We all went to the hospital. And 11 o'clock, he had his last breath of his life. 11 o'clock, my dad passed away. Well, and that upset us and my mother. We all were very shocked from his death because he was the one, he was the healthy one. When we called people to let know my father died, most of them said there must be a mistake, there must be the mother died because she was the sick one. But this is how it worked out. Mom was staying with me for a few years, and then she went to stay with my sister B because B went to work, and she felt that she wanted to help out Beatrice. She didn't think that I needed any, that I can manage very well on my own. I didn't work, and B was working to help out send the children to college. And Mom was staying with B for 22 years. Then when Izzy retired, I insisted Mom comes to live with me because I think it wasn't fair for my sister. My sister had Mom for 22 years. It's very true. She gave her a lift. She had done. But my sister really didn't have the privacy. And upon my insisting, Mom came here. And very unfortunate, she fell right in my own home, in my bedroom, and she broke a hip. And this was terrible for Mom. For 19 months, I nursed Mom with a hip. It was hard, it wasn't easy, but we were glad to do for Mom all we could because I just couldn't see she should go in a nursing home. I know the family felt that was too much of me and Izzy. Izzy wasn't well, running with the meals upstairs, but we didn't mind it. But then it got to a point that I wasn't well, and Dr. Order says, Norma, you have to part with, you have to give up Mom. Mom has to go into nursing home. That Mom has heart failure, and you have to run to the hospital every 4 or 5 weeks with Mom. And there, where she's going to go into geriatric, there's a hospital that can prolong her life. And this is what happened. Mom did go into the geriatric. She was 15 months she lived there. We were always by her side. It was me, my sister, my brother. Mom wasn't left alone. We done the best we could for her. And then, of course, this is what happened. Mom died. 4 years later, my brother died. And a year and a half later, my husband died. In 5 years, I lost three loved ones of the family. What I'm going to say now refers to 1930. In 1930, I was selected the ILG.
Which stands for?
That's the union that I worked for.
International
Garment Workers Union. Had a deal with Bremer College that they would select their best, they would select people who they thought had ability to be in leadership, and especially for the union. Leadership for the union, leadership for the community. Somehow, they noticed in me that I had some leadership. And I was selected one of them. We were 110 women. We were 100 women from throughout United States. From Philadelphia, we were 5 women. I just cannot recall from all, but we also had, from Scotland, we had from England, we had a woman from Germany, the rest I don't remember from where, so many years ago. And this was the most beautiful, beautiful experience for me, especially a girl from a sweatshop, after coming to Bremer College. Bremer College meant to me a dream, a dream. I know it was sort of a false dream that I spent there 2 months, that I was still the girl from the sweatshop, that I wasn't one of the rich children who can afford to go to Bremer College and pay Bremer tuitions. It was very nice. We had lectures. I also had an English teacher. I think her name was Miss Hoke. I had my political teacher who taught us science and politics, Mr. Miller. The science teacher, I don't remember. And this went on for two months. I had a beautiful room to sleep in. I occupied the room, one of the pages, which years ago, I believe they were an automobile business. We had a cafeteria where we used to get our food. We weren't happy with our food, so we got together a council and we went to fight about it. They should give us more food. So their excuse was, if we're going to eat too much, we won't be able to study, we won't be able to think. That was their excuse. Then we had people around that area there would come up and help us with our work, with our pronunciations, with our spelling. And we had an indoor swimming pool. It was just beautiful. And we were engaged in a lot of activities. This is thanks to my husband, Duizi, that he let me do it, because I was married already 1 year. And he let me do that. He wanted me, he says, well, if you want to go, I'll make it possible for you, you'll go. While I was there, I was doing my work pretty good. And they wanted me to go any further. Then I got a scholarship from Brookwood College, was a labor college. Because that, I did not accept it, because I wanted to go home to Izzy and raise a family. And I did done all I possible could for my community, for organization. It was a great help for me, the Bremer College, a great help. Now, we got to Strawberry Mansion. We moved to Strawberry Mansion in 1934, and it was really a very beautiful community. It was a community. Prior to that, they were very, very wealthy people, and the German Jews were living there. And then in 1929 and 1930, a lot of them started to move out to different, better neighborhoods, and the workers, the middle class, started to move into Strawberry Mansion. And the workers. I was among the workers. I moved in there with my husband and my firstborn child in 1934. Then in 1934, the end of 1934, my son, William Velvel, was born. And in 1942, our quarters got a little bit small, so we moved 2 blocks away. We moved above a butcher shop in order I couldn't afford a better apartment. I should be able to get a bedroom for my 2 children. And we had a bedroom for ourselves, a bedroom for our 2 children, a bedroom, a kitchen,
a
living room.
Do you remember the address of that?
Yeah, 1819.
1819 what?
32nd Street. My first apartment was 1819 32nd Street.
Right.
The second apartment, it was 2000 North 32nd Street.
Okay.
It was right on 32nd Street. And the school was right around the corner, the Stockley School.
Elementary school?
Elementary school, where my children went there. It was a very fine school. And
what was the makeup of the student population? Were they mostly Jews?
Yes. As a matter of fact, in the elementary school, because I was active there, I became a class mother, then I became vice president of the Home School Association.
What school
association? Stockley School.
Okay, so you became president of the Stockley School Association?
Vice president.
Vice president of the Stockley School Association.
Yes. And we were very active. And the teachers was mostly Jewish, very few Gentile. And there were very few Gentile children. There were, I can say freely, there was about 95% Jewish children.
Do you know how many students there were in the school? Like 100, 200?
That I really never checked. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Probably I knew, but I don't recall. There were several hundred.
And were most of the Jews from Russia or Hungary?
I mean, yes, they were foreigners. I wouldn't say all, but a lot of them, I know the people that I had associated with, they were foreign people.
Were they mostly Russian?
Russian, Polish.
Russian, Polish.
German Jews, Hungarian Jews, from all over. We had people from Israel, too, also. And it was a beautiful community. We were very, very happy there. As a matter of fact, at 2000, we lived then, we had moved. I just didn't want to leave Strawberry Mansion because it offered us an awful lot. First of all, it offered for the children playgrounds in the park, where the children could play baseball, basketball, all kind of sports activities. They had tennis court. And then we had the Philadelphia Symphony Orchestra at the Dell, which would come in free. And throughout the summer, they would invite celebrities, opera stars, or... Now, it was such a treat for us to hear Paul Robeson. Didn't cost us a cent. Lillian Pons. I just can't remember to name all of them. And so we bought a home. As a matter of fact, when Alan went to... Alan started to go to high school to... Broad and Olney.
On Broad and Olney Street?
Yeah, the high school...
Well, the high school in Broad and Olney Street.
No. That is
the famous high school?
Yeah, that was all for men. But then they became a co-ed.
Well, when I make a copy of this, Alan can fill in the name.
All right, we'll fill in the name.
Yeah.
And we wanted to move around there. I figured that not a year or two, William will go to high school. So the children started to cry. They don't want to leave Strawberry Mansion. We got to stay in Strawberry Mansion. So we had bought a home on 33rd Street, 2546, I believe. We had our home there. We lived there for about 8 years. We were very happy. Of course, unfortunately, my parents moved in, and it's only 6 weeks that my father was with us, and then he had some kidney problem developed, and he had passed away. But my mother was with me for a few years, and then she had went to Northeast. And as a matter of fact, she was very unhappy there for a while. She missed Strawberry Mansion because it offered us so much. We missed the community life.
But what kind of community life did you have there?
Well, during the war, we had Russian war relief, but we were very active. We were active. The children were in Scout Boys.
Oh, Boy Scouts.
Boy Scouts, they were active. And my children went to Hebrew school. I was active in Homeschool Association, in Stockley School. Then when they went to Blaine School, I resumed some activities there. And we were just a big, happy family. Then in 1952-53, the real estate people started to bombard us with letters, with telephone calls, sell your house, you can get a better buy now, there's people want to buy your house, and the Negro people came in. And the reason a lot of people had sold their homes, not that I got frightened so much about the Negro people, because the homes were too big. The home on 33rd Street, there were 4-bedroom house. After the children got married, so the house was too big. And this is how it started, the immigration. From Strawberry Mansion, the people moved to Northeast and Mount Airy.
Yeah.
Of course, Mount Airy didn't last very long because it was on the borderline with the area where they had Negro people right around there, and then the Negro people had started to go to Mount Airy. And then when it moved in a few black people, the people became very panicky, and they started to move out. And unfortunately, a lot of undesirable people had moved in. Now, for instance, next door to me was a doctor, Dr. Bell. He sold his house, so what they had there, a call girl house. And when one morning, and when my son was in Korea, I did not worry so much about him, but when he came back from the Korea, and he's a young man, he would come home 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, I would sit near the window and watch him coming home. We were frightened because we knew an element, well, what kind of element we had. So when, as soon as we learned what kind of neighbors we had, we sold our home and we moved to Northeast. And I was very unhappy in Northeast for quite a while because Strawberry Mansion was very handy. We had the bus A going on 33rd Street that would take me to town, would take me to the Academy of Music, would take me to the museum. In about 15 minutes, I was in the center part of the city.
Yeah.
And it was just a beautiful community life there. People were very happy.
I need to know about the what kind of stores.
Well, the stores weren't modern. Now, the stores we had on 31st Street, the food stores, and some clothing shops. So they were about a block or two blocks the most.
Mm-hmm.
They had the marketing. They had the butchers. Of course, we had also not all of them, they were in the market. Some of them were on the streets. Mm-hmm. Like on Nara Street on the corner, there was a butcher. There was a drugstore across the street.
Were these all Jewish shop owners?
Yes, they were all Jewish. They were all Jewish shop owners.
So you didn't have any Italians or any?
No, not in Strawberry Mansion. Now downtown.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I know about South Philly.
That we were neighbors with Italian people. But in Strawberry Mansion, I only had Jewish neighbors. Even when I got on 33rd Street, they were 100% Jewish neighbors.
How about the income level or social class? Were they all lower class, middle class?
Well, naturally we had that. As soon as the workers and the middle class started to move in, the highfalutins, those with a lot of money, manufacturing people, they moved right out.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, on 33rd Street, they had people there with a lot of money. I just can't recall their names.
Uh-huh.
That they lived around there. They had maid quarters. They had, but as soon as the workers started to move in, they moved out.
So you consider yourself working class?
Yes,
and
definitely.
Most of your neighbors were working class,
yes,
also?
Yes, every one of them. And we used to take the children in the morning to the park. And because they would get the fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just beautiful. That was the most beautiful life that I and my husband enjoyed, the Strawberry Mansion. We used to congregate in Strawberry Mansion in the park. A certain area, there was an Indian, so we knew we were going to meet at the Indians.
Mm-hmm.
We had our picnics in the park. And it was just, we were alive there.
How many synagogues were in the area?
Well, we had a synagogue on 32nd in Montgomery. That was a synagogue, a Reform synagogue. Then, about a half a block away, there was Rabbi Yalas. There was a Orthodox synagogue. Then on 33rd Street in Diamond, they built the most beautiful conservative synagogue. Well, it was just a beautiful synagogue. And then on York, 31st to York, there was a small little synagogue. And now between 32nd and 33rd. Door of 31st in Europe, there was a small little synagogue. And now between 32nd and 33rd on Huntington Street, there was a synagogue, a small one, not too large, but it took in about 150, 200 people. But the synagogue, the conservative, on 33rd Street, it was a beautiful synagogue.
How many community centers?
It was, no, they didn't have community centers then.
Where did all the people meet or to do things together?
They used to meet in halls. They would rent a hall. Now we had we had a meeting place we used to call the working club. So most of the people who were working, they belonged to the club. Uh-huh. And we would meet once a week. We would have entertainment. We would take up some problems. We're the one who fought for Social Security.
Yeah.
We felt that we have to bring in. Of course, Social Security was enforced then. No. That was in downtown. I think.
How about did any of the wives work, or did most of them stay at home?
Most of them worked. We had a day nursery on 33rd Street. 2200. 33rd Street.
You had a daycare?
Yes, daycare. Mrs. What was her name? That was, oh, God. She took sick, and she was in the nursing home together with my mom. Yes, we had a nursing home. That was taken care by the Jewish Federation.
Oh, so that was very revolutionary, I would think, at the time, to have a daycare center.
No, we didn't have a daycare center, a nursery.
Oh, what's the difference between a daycare and a nursery?
I guess it's the same thing. I don't know, Martha. Oh, my children never went there, and I was never active in there.
Oh, well, you could leave your children at the nursery.
Oh, yes, you would bring in the child at 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning and go to work. And then you'd pick up the child around 4 o'clock, whatever their hours were.
And
the child went to school from school. It came to the. Most of my friends had their children in it. But.
And where did your friends work?
In factories, in town.
So they lived in Strawberry Mansion, and then they took the bus into town to work in factories?
Yes, they took the bus. Number 9 car used to go. They would pass downtown, and they would go to work. A lot of the mothers had terrible hardship. If a child took sick, so one child, they would run from the factory. They would need their lunch. They would eat their lunch on the run and come home and feed their child. I was fortunate. Mm-hmm. Uncle Lizzie was working 3-4 days a week, and I managed because I was raised during the war where my mother had to go out every day to work, and I was only 5-6 years old, and I had to look after my sister. So I said to myself, if I'll be blessed, me children, if I'll have to wash floors at night time, but I'll take care of my kids. Nobody's going to raise them but me.
Uh-huh. Where did your friends work, and what kind of factories?
In dress factory, on Arch Street. That was the whole industry there. From Broad and Arch till about 2nd and Arch, and then maybe up to Ray Street, mm-hmm. a few blocks. This was all the whole area.
That was the garment district?
The garment district,
Of Philadelphia.
Of Philadelphia, right.
So most of the women worked in the garment district as seamstresses?
Yes.
And what did most of the men do?
The men do, my husband was a preener. A lot of the men used to be cap makers, men's clothing.
Made hats?
Yes.
Oh.
Caps.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, friends of mine, they were wear caps, paper hangers.
Wallpaper.
Mm-hmm. Painters, mm-hmm. painting the house. Upholsterers. This is the element that I associate with.
Okay.
And a lot of them worked in the, where they make cloth.
Textiles,
yes. And of course the children went to school. The parents worked very hard to give the children an education.
Did they go to public school or private school?
No, they went to public school. Most of them, my friends, which they're all working parents, and I can proudly say they come out professional people. Mm-hmm. My son is teaching at Yale. One is a speech therapist. Their friends are attorneys, social workers, pharmacists, doctors, educators.
So the second generation really is now mostly professional.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. My children's age, they were all professional. Their mothers and fathers slaves for it.
Yeah.
But they did, because the reason we were so interested, our children should be professional, they shouldn't go through that slavery what we went through. Mm-hmm.